Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming out. Could have been anywhere doing anything, but you chose to be here with us, and for that, we're grateful. Today, you know, we want to talk about something a little different, but we also want, you know, you guys to chime in, because this is normally a sensitive topic for people, you know, and my view is evolving when it comes to this. It's something that I believe most people take it, and it's an emotional thing. It's based more on emotions than pretty much, for me, anything else, you know. And as I evolve and as I grow and as I examine it, I start looking at it differently. And I start, you know, asking, you know, different questions that, you know, some of them I used to ask, and Some of them are new questions when it comes to this particular subject. And, you know, Sister Lisa, you know, she's covered it 2 weeks now. So today I want to, you know, deal with it, but I want to deal with it from a different aspect. You know, so for me, it's more about, okay, if you haven't figured it out, you know, what I'm talking about right now, and, you know, I was being evasive purposely because I wanted those who are listening to kind of wonder what it was that I was speaking about, but some of you may have figured it out. It's religion. Religion and how it plays a part in our lives. And how, for me, when I look at religion, I look at it as very little facts, mostly belief. You know, and I claim a religion myself, so I'm not without claiming a religion myself. I claim Islam, and, you know, Islam basically means, you know, submitting one's will, and, you know, being a Muslim, submitting to a higher power, to Allah. And okay, if we look at it in a manner of submitting to the universe and submitting to the creator of the universe, would that be different than saying, oh, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Is there a difference with that? You know? So those who are on the line, if you think there's a difference, then, you know, I'm open to hear what the difference is. I personally think there is a difference based on the information that has been produced to us when it came to Jesus and when it comes to Jesus. I've heard many people say, you know, that are Christians say that, you know, the image doesn't matter. How he looks doesn't matter. And I beg to differ. I think the image matters tremendously. I think what he looks like matters tremendously. However, the other part of it is, okay, when we talk about me as a Muslim, praying 5 times a day. Now, I can say it does help me to remember. Now, on the other side, on the flip side, I can't really say that making them prayers actually brings me closer to that higher power in a manner that I really know the higher power. You know, why I played the record, The God in Me, where the God in me connects with the higher power that created that part in me. That's what I think we're missing, organized religions. I think we're missing that aspect of it. I think we're missing the connection to the higher power. We're going through the act and going through the motions of saying that, you know, we are worshiping the higher power, but do we really know the higher power? Do we really strive to live like we believe the higher power is? Do we try to Do we try to emulate God? Or, you know, for Christians, they say, you know, that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, even Christians, do they try to emulate Jesus? Or do they just go by the doctrine of, if, you know, the doctrine of, you know, that you worship, you know, you take Jesus, that God created his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do they just go on that doctrine? Okay, long as you believe in Jesus, and being that God had sent his only Son to die for your sins, mind you, are you completely absolved of all sins, man? Does that mean you can go cut a person's throat? Does that mean you could slap a person in the face, disrespect the person, and say, I believe in Jesus and I'm good? I'm gonna make it to paradise? Because I've heard, you know, Christians say that if you believe in Jesus, it's like automatic paradise. It's like a free ticket to paradise. For me, personally, I find that difficult to believe. Actually, I find it difficult to believe because I've seen some of, both in Muslims and Christians, I don't know, you know, I only know actions of Jewish people. I don't know anyone who per se is Jewish, you know, that I've been around personally. I just see the results of America, and which the Jews have a big hand in. So I'm saying this to say that many of us accept the religion. Is that religion bringing us closer as human beings, or is it dividing us to a point where, you know, we don't even see eye to eye based on something we believe? Mind you, a belief is not a fact. A belief is just that, something that you believe in that it hasn't really been proven a fact. It's just as if you believed in Santa Claus and you found out there was no Santa Claus. You believed in the Easter Bunny and you found out there was no Easter Bunny. What if you're believing in your said religion and you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if we've been given a religion to take us away from who we actually are and how we actually connect? Because all these religious people that I know, I find it amazing that many of us can't get along. Many of us don't like each other. You know? So how can it that we claiming to be God-like when God has created people in multiple colors, multiple nationalities, multiple cultures, and he takes care of all those people equally? So where's the equality within us as those who claim a religion? Where are we falling short to live up to the reality of who God is or how we see God? So if we're going to church or we're going to the mosque and we're going to learn about God, then why we know so little about how to carry ourselves in a godly manner? Many of us, I'm not saying everybody, some people do, But many of us don't. Many of us on a daily basis display characteristics that other people who haven't chosen religion look at those of us who have and turn away from religion completely because of the way that we display, the way that we interact with them and others. So let's really examine what is it really doing? How is it really helping you? Reading the Bible, going to church on Sunday, you know, or reading the Quran, fasting, and praying five times a day. How is it really helping? If you're not growing to be a better human being, if you're not growing to be someone that people can cling to or feel comfortable being around, you know, not a person that people running away from you because your behavior, because as I said earlier, how you interact with them, how you speak to them, how you treat them. Like, okay, is it God like to rip somebody off of their money? Is it God like? Is it God like to talk about a person behind their back when you can speak to the person and strive to help the person deal with whatever it is they're trying to deal with? Is it God-like to put a person down because they're struggling with some type of affliction, some type of weakness that they haven't been able to conquer yet, and you're putting them down, and you're speaking about them, and you're belittling them? Now, if God was like anything like us, which we all have to be thankful he's not, then none of us make it to paradise. We all go to hell. We all go to hell because we all fall short one way or the other. We all, if we're still struggling to become one just with people that look like us and people we can touch, and we say we love God, which we can't touch, come on, how much sense does that make? Because at the end of the day, whatever godly aspects that we display, we have to display them to each other. Now, we can be comfortable as a 5%er. When I was a 5%er, Christian people had a major problem when I said that I was God. But yet, they could say Jesus, and according to most of us who went to church or whatever, you've seen the blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, you know, he was God. So he can walk around. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy can walk around, and you've been taught and you believe and you push this with all your might that he was God in the flesh walking around. You push this. But you couldn't say that you or me was God in the flesh. Because if the higher power, if, you know, something inside of us, which none of us can touch with our hands, and we all know that there's something inside of us that is unlike anything on the earth, because it's not tangible. It's not something you can weigh or you could put it in the casket. You can't even put that in the casket, because when we see what we see in the casket is missing that part. It's missing that life energy. That life energy is no longer there. And where does that life energy go? do we really know, or do we just bleed? You know, and it's and as Muslims, we pray to prophets. We pray to God about prophets, wishing prophets well, you know, in some of the prayers. Now, what would be the difference if we prayed out those whom we lost to ask them, you know, to guide us, because they're no longer on this earthly realm in a physical form. But that part of them that we can't touch or we can't see, do we know for a fact that that part even left this earthly realm? We don't know that for sure. None of us on this line can say for sure that that part that leaves your body has left this earthly realm. We can't say that. We can only speculate, you know. So I'm just examining religion, because to me, religion is something that's repetitive, something that you do consistently. So somebody's religion could be smoking weed. Somebody's religion could be drinking alcohol. Somebody's religion could be working every day. You know, it could be whatever. So, but we choose to take these religions and we basically swear by them, swear our life that, you know, this is true. We argue with one another. There's been wars fought on religious beliefs. There's been family members who stop talking to each other completely over religious beliefs. Now, how can something that's supposed to connect us to the higher power cause that type of friction? Then that means there's something in it that's not completely healthy for us. And not to say that religion is a bad thing, and I'm not saying that, so I don't want you to get it twisted that I'm saying that religion is a bad thing, but I think it has to be put in a proper perspective, and it has to be dealt with in a proper perspective. We can no longer just take religion from face value and just take everything that we read and been told as the truth, and that, you know, we argue with people definitively about you know, Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you're going to hell. Or if you don't accept Muhammad as your prophet, you're going to hell. You know, these to me is extremism. Because nobody I've not seen yet, I haven't went to any wake or any funeral yet where they had two people in the casket. Only one person is in that casket. So that being said, that means we each have to build a personal relationship with a higher power. Void of anybody else, void of our parents, void of the religion we choose, void of the pastor, the imam, void of everybody else. We have to build a personal relationship because we're going to have to deal with that higher power ourselves. And do we want to say when we're asked that, my mom gave me that religion, or my mom told me that religion, you know, was the right religion, or my dad told me that was the right religion, you know, and I never really got to know who you were, you know? As I said, from my view, we need to get to know the higher power. We need to concentrate and try to emulate based on the grace that we have been given, because that's what we're going to have to go on. And we have to be able to give grace to each other. You know? Okay, like Sister Lisa said, you know, she was swimming, thought she was, you know, she was drowning. Some picked her up. Now, she said it was God. Could have been, or could have been one of the ancestors that never left, that never left this realm, helped her out. We don't know. We can only assume. And we have to be real with that. We have to be real. Having faith doesn't mean you know. Having faith means you believe, even though you don't have the evidence to prove that it's worth believing or that this thing is going to happen. That's what faith is. I believe it's going to happen, even though there's no evidence to say that this thing will happen. That's what faith is. So, with that being said, come on, people. We have to make some changes within ourselves. We have to make some changes because they say one of the most segregated days of the week is Sundays. One of the most segregated days of the week. You can have, you got family members, Muslim, Pentecostal, Baptist, Jehovah Witness. Now, all of these different religions in one family now, mind you, that don't bring the family no closer. Don't bring the family no closer one bit. Because when you get together and you start talking about religion, you say something that they disagree with, now they mad at you. Now they don't want to talk to you. So us being descendants of Africans, how much do we know about our African culture? We can talk about Christianity, we can talk about Islam, and the Sister Sabrina, that Sister Lisa had on there, made a statement that was profound. She said, you know, she's Arab, and they embedded Islam into their culture. They embedded Arabic into Islam. So they took their culture and put it in their religion. And things that was really their culture, they threw it in the religion. You know? So you don't think some of the Christianity and Islam is other people's culture being thrown on you in the form of religion for you to worship? It's other people's culture. So you busy trying to, you know, learn how to serve and please God, which is nothing wrong with that, but you're not even learning who you are. You're not even learning that there's a part of you that is missing because you're not connected to the higher power the way you're designed to be. That's what's happening to us, people. We're disconnected. And we're wondering why we're struggling, why we're hurting, why we're separated, why things are going so wrong for us. Because we're disconnected from the higher power in the manner that we should be. Now when I pray, I take some time to pray to the higher power, to pray to the universe, to pray to the ancestors, to pray to all of them, to embody it all, not just to pray in Arabic and, you know, concentrate on that same prayer every time I pray. For me, I got to open it up because I don't know when this earthly body is gone, where my spirit's going to go. But I'm striving to be connected, that I go right back to that source that sent me here. Because we all are connected to the same source. So if we're connected to the same source, how come we have so much difficulty getting along with each other and working together to make this a better world for all of us? How come? We're gonna go to a break, and then we'll come back and pick up. Anybody want to, you know, add on, have some questions or whatever, then we could get into that now. But right now, Brother Jay, bring us a song. Let us go into a break and then come back.
It's willing to give of oneself simply because of comfort well enough. Love hides a multitude of thoughts. No love is unselfish. Love is overpowering the odds.
Overpowering
love is giving and sharing a part of oneself to increase the love between two or more people. Love is open and honest. Love is wishing the best for someone, although they may not wish the same for you.
You know how that
love is being there, even though times are difficult. Love is not judgmental. Love
don't judge,
not suspicious. Love is not secretive. Love is the greatest emotion that the human being has been blessed with. Greatest emotion.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Remember, press one to come in. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, some of you may just be feeling like, you know, you're interested in what I'm saying and, you know, I'm making some good points and this or that and another. Or some of you may feel like, man, this guy's out of his mind. Huh, what the heck is he talking about? So, either way, welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Calling you live.
Good show, Shadi, tonight. You hit a lot of points tonight regarding religion, and you're right. I think a lot of times that when you're growing up, you're introduced to religion. I remember being a kid and going every Sunday and not really understanding what I was learning. And we used to go like three nights a week. We had a personal Bible study, and we would go and knock on people's doors on Saturday. And we was always taught, you know, to do right, love everybody, respect our elders, and you had to be just a good person. But as I grew up, I still just went to the same religion, and still really didn't get it like I thought I would. And as time went on, I started searching, and I started going different places. But as I went to quite a few churches, I picked up on a lot of different, like you said, beliefs. And some I didn't believe, and I moved on and I moved forward. But one thing I did always keep in my heart is that I did always believe in God and His Son, and I always felt that they were a powerful entity or spiritual in this world. But as I get older, like you were saying, and I start reaching, you know, my senior years, he's more real to me. And I think sometime in life, different things happen to people, and he becomes more realer to you. And I live more for trying to get myself right. And I'm not saying get right myself with him, but get myself right. Because like you said, we don't know if we're going somewhere after this. And we don't know what's going to happen when that time comes. we do a lease, what we call our home here. So you try to get things right and make a point so that as time comes, you start seeing things differently. Like I said, I visit this church now. I also joined it, and I really enjoy it. But me, I love knowledge. So whenever I go somewhere, if I'm learning, then I'm the place that I want to be. I don't want to be told what to think. I don't want to be told where to go and what to do. I want you to give me knowledge that I can put in my mind, and I can go through it and come out with a decision that I can live with that, or I can understand that. You know, I believe in that. And as you were saying that, life is I spoke to someone one time, and he was telling me that we came from a religion in Africa, but when we became slaves here, we became Christians, and therefore they taught us what they wanted us to know, and they put in what they felt that they could use to make us do the things they wanted to do because it was in the Bible. So a lot of stuff that we know and we live by what we were told. Our real religion was taken away from us. So as we move in this life, everybody takes on different beliefs, but we have to respect everybody because, like you said, we do not know what is the right one. We just know what we feel and how we want to live and what we feel and believe within ourselves. And I like the way you brought up about me as a kid. I like the way you brought up when I was a kid. And you're right. I was only like 8 or 9 when all those little things happened to me. So I really didn't know of God then. You know, I just heard of him. But I do know that whatever it was that did save my life at those points of times, you're right. It was something that felt that it wasn't my time to go to another place in my journey. So I always think, I say God, but it could have been the forefather that saved me to be able to make me be to where I'm at now. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we all get saved from stuff, but we have to always respect and be thankful that we got saved. Because some people, something happens to, and they don't get saved. And that be their last point in and out.
Absolutely. And that's where the grace comes in. You know, it's for the grace that, you know, many of us are still here. By the grace of God, by the grace of the universe, we're still here. So if we're given that grace, shouldn't we reciprocate that grace to others? Shouldn't we strive to be better human beings altogether, better earthly beings, whatever we want to call ourselves? Because it's as I said, it's amazing to me that people could, you know, claim a religion and say they're so righteous, and they can't even get along with hardly nobody. You know what I mean? Like your cousin said, something too holy to you ain't no earthly good. You know, where you so above everybody, so you think or so you portray, till you're not interacting with enough individuals. Like, you know, we need to strive to connect the higher power, and in return, if we all are connected to that higher power, I see it as almost impossible for us to not be able to connect to each other. Because we'll be all connected to the same source. If we're connected to the same source, then we should be able to connect with each other. And that's where I have the problem with, you know, calling all these different religions, and we all disconnected. We all over the place because of what we believe. We can't put those religious beliefs aside long enough to focus on things that we see that, you know, that could be helpful. Okay, we talk about paradise, we talk about heaven. How many people spend their days striving to make what they believe heaven would be when they leave here, make it be like that on earth? How many people try to do that? You know? So if you think about it in that way, okay, what you waiting to die for? Why don't you try to make here heaven so maybe then you won't have to die? If I believe that each religion has some truth. I believe that. And the only way you can convince a person to believe something, you got to have some truth sprinkled in there somewhere. You know? Because most times a straight out lie, people just say, man, you straight lying. That's too fantastic. That's too far out. I don't believe it. But if you have some truth in there, then it makes it more digestible. You can digest it and you can accept, okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see this being, you know, the way. I can see, you know, okay, I can believe this. I can see this happening. And that's the thing. Like, you know, when it says, you know, that, you know, when he started off with Adam, and then it says that he sinned, and that took away everlasting life. So there may be some truth to that. There may be some truth to, okay, what if people wasn't sinning? Would it have to be death? Would you have to die then? What if people were more loving towards each other? What if people were more caring about each other? What if people were more open to dealing with equality? Then you change the dynamics. But because people are so conniving and shysty, a lot of us, you know, death becomes a rescue sometimes because some people are so diabolical that death is the only way you get a chance to save the earth, because they'll destroy the earth if they can live, you know, without dying. So you see people's actions and you see the way we are as earthly beings, and you say, okay, death, is it a punishment or is it a balance? Is it a balance based on how we are at this present state? Now, we have to internalize that. We have to internalize that, yeah, something is missing from this earthly realm. Something is missing. Go ahead.
You know, like, as we was talking a little earlier, I grew up listening to us leaving this earth. That was most the main teacher that I actually grew up. I was very afraid of death. And it became a big part of my life. Like, I had bad anxiety sometime at night. I would think about it and just bust out in sweats. And it just got so bad that, you know, I really thought, you know, it was, you know, you're not immortal. You're going to leave here. So I remember I went to a counselor, and she told me something very, you know, profane. She said, the time that you put in thinking about death, you could be living. And from that day on, I'm not saying that I don't think about it every once in a while, but I don't try to lean forward into a fear. And you're right, that's what a lot of religions do. They put you know, fear and say, oh, if you don't get saved, you can't go to heaven, or if you you sin, God is not going to forgive you. And all that stuff is not, like you said, some churches have it, but it's not always a true thing because, like you said about the Bible, well, Cain killed Abel. Now, that was the first death or murder on the earth. But yet, God still loved him so much that when he put him out for being with his parents, he said, something's going to happen to me if I had to leave here. And God said that was on top of his head, that nobody would ever bother him while he's on the earth. He would be protected. So even though he killed his brother, and God really didn't like what had happened between him, he still saved him when he could have just took his hands off of him and said, well, you murdered somebody, so whatever happens to you out there in the wilderness, this happened to you. So he's a loving God. You know what I mean? Like, so we have to start realize, I had to start realizing that when it says in the Bible, he has many mansions awaiting you. So I have to think that this right here, wherever we at, is not where we're going to be one day, because there's got to be something better, because this right here got to be some type of trial to make it where it's going to be better at. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, this is hell where we live in. And only certain people that live down here good, they live in heaven. Well, you know, that's not true, because nobody really been in hell. And nobody truly know what heaven feels like, because nobody ever came back and told us what either one feel like. But I do know that however we live in this life, at the end, I believe we get judged and we find out at the end how we lived is going to anchor the way of where we go. Because like you said a little earlier, many people think death is not a rescue, but it's a means to an end, because they don't want to suffer or go through whatever they're going through because it's so bad. I always look at people that kill themselves, and I say, now, those are powerful people. For you to actually take your life, I mean, no matter what we go through, we never want to die. But for you to actually be to a point that you would do anything to harm yourself, to take you out of this earth, you got to be somewhere beyond anybody could ever touch. Don't you think so?
Your belief system, you obviously have to believe that death is better than life for you. You know what I mean? That's for me, that's the only explanation that would make sense for a person to want to kill themselves, because things are so bad here. Because for me, I'm thinking about the unknown. Okay, I don't know if it's going to be better or worse. So I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to deal with this until it's time and try to get ready for that. But maybe in their mind, they feel like, look, it's got to be something better for here. And we don't know. I mean, the mind is a powerful thing. We don't know, okay, because they feel like, even though we're told in the Bible and in the Quran, you kill yourself, that's automatic hellfire. That's what we're told. But we don't know if that's, you know, because according to the Quran, it says we all have a birth date and we all have a death date. And nobody goes 1 minute sooner or 1 minute later than they're supposed to. That's what it says, you know. But, you know, that's a part of the belief. So if it's written in Islam, we believe that certain things are ordained. So it may have been written for them to take their own life. We don't know. So this is the thing, what I say about religion is that there's very little facts in religion. There's the majority of belief, because when you really examine it and try to say, okay, I can prove this, I can prove that, the only two things you can prove is life and death. You know those are gonna happen. You know you live in that. You know you're gonna leave. That's something without a doubt. Where you going? You only can hope and wish. You know where you're gonna go. I mean, plenty of us when people pass away, first thing we say is they in heaven. They're in paradise. They're in heaven. But now we forget. We forget about the scripture when a person leaves here, because scripture says we are going to be judged to determine where we go. When the trumpet is blown and all the souls are raised up, that's what it says. And both religions say that we don't automatically go to paradise when we leave here. How many times we hear individuals say, oh, here they in heaven looking over us. No, they may be right down here looking at us. Because they in that spirit form, we can't touch them, feel them, but they here. So that's the thing. So now if we really go back to our African roots and start really learning more about our African roots, and as I said earlier, we start putting time studying what were we prior to slavery, what were we worshiping and how were we worshiping, then we may get reconnected back to the way we originally was. And stop going through all this, you know, where people say hell on earth, all this disappointment and anger and, you know, sadness and all that. You know, we can maybe avoid that if we get back to our original state of being, you know, because that's the thing about connecting to the higher power. As Malai said, you know, on the show, that when we're in the womb, we already in sujood, we already in submission mode. Children, when they're born, we, you know, Christianity say, children are born in sin. They born sinful. That I don't buy. I don't believe, because children do exactly what they're supposed to do. When they're born, what they do? They eat, giggle, cry, eat, giggle, cry, make little noise. That's it. The rest of the stuff they learn, the sinful stuff they learn, is from those around them. The world teach them the sinful stuff. So we're not born in sin. That I don't buy that. I don't believe we're born sinful, because I can bear witness to that. I see babies. I see babies being innocent. And you babies, how come one baby you can raise and the baby eat vegetables and you know, don't curse, none of that. Another baby you can see dropping it like it's hot, cursing, this, that, and the other. Two babies are different. Why are they different? Because the environment, because the adults around them, what they're being taught, what they are learning. Most of our behaviors are learned behaviors. You know, like you said, when you were younger, your mom took you to people's house. Spreading the word. You learned that. That wasn't something you was born to do. You wasn't born knowing that, oh, I'm going to go to people's house and I'm going to tell them about Jehovah's Witness. No, that was something you was taught. That's the difference in where we at and where we are capable of being. So it's a lot of things that we have to unlearn so that we can relearn. You know? So, but anybody else on the line, press 1, because we're about to, you know, be out in 5 minutes. Anybody on the line? Then go ahead, Sister Lisa.
Yeah, and you're right. And I always think it's very valuable that for some reason we're the only people that things have been stripped from us, our not just dignity, but our every being has been stripped from us for a reason of selfishness, because we walk this earth and we see everybody have their religion from their background, They know their language from their background. They have their special foods. They have their, you know, all these things, and we're the only ones fighting to find a place in life. And we always say unity. We always say, you know, you got to go to church. You got to get into church. You got to get into God. But thousands of years now, we have been doing that as a people. And look at the churches, still ain't, don't back us up to make us move forward either. When you go to a church and you join, what's the first thing they do? They give you a packet for tithes.
That's right.
Okay, what about giving me a Bible? How you know I own a Bible? You know what I mean? Like, why would you want to give me an envelope for you to keep accountable what I'm giving you? You're supposed to give whatever you got. Yes,
right.
Because now churches is not like back in the day. Back in the day, like when our parents were coming along, when you gave the minister, he didn't have anything. You know what I mean? Things wasn't set up the way it is now. Churches that we go to now, they don't have it like we have it, you know, like it's back in the day. And they got to realize that it's people hurting out here. But people want to hear the word. But why we got to pay to hear the word? You know what I mean? Like, that's like another credit card that we got to pay for that we didn't charge, right? Why would we feel like we got to go through a ceremony of getting up, walking to the front, dropping our money off, coming back? You know what I mean? Like, is it supposed to make us feel better? I don't understand, because I could walk outside the church and still be broke, but gave my little pennies and thinking I'm giving it to God, but really I'm giving it to the building I'm going to. But, you know, there's no here and now. I'm not thinking bad about it, but I'm just saying that people got, like you said, belief, holding us accountable of stuff that's old in the Bible. Jesus never said pay tithes. That was over with in the beginning of the Bible. Jesus says, come and hear about my Father. I never heard him once ask nobody for no money. And if they gave, they gave because they wanted to.
Well, I mean, you know, thing is, if you ask any of us, some of us may know some of our African history, but many of us don't. We don't know anything about African history. How did we eat, as you said? How did we eat? How did we worship? How did we conduct ourselves amongst each other? We've got some that we used to be in a village. You know, it take a village to raise the children. So how come we went from a village to neighborhoods to now just hoods? So there's things that happen to us that are unhealthy for us, that are not bringing us closer, that is basically tearing us apart, you know? So that's, you know, that's just something that, you know, listening to your show and then, you know, speaking to Dre earlier, you know, that was something that I, you know, really wanted to speak about, the religion. You know, we have to really be mindful of how we interpret the religion and how we live, you know, because how we live and how we present ourselves is the most important thing. When people going to remember you for how you was, that's what they're going to remember. When you're not here, it's going to be, you know, as they say, that birth date and that death date, that dash, that in between that dash, what do you want people to remember? How do you want to be portrayed? You know, as your brother say, what type of legacy do you want to leave? You know, and that's for all of us, other than just our children, grandchildren, great-grands. what do we want them to remember and cherish and keep passing it down? Because we're not, you know, some of us, we're doing the best we can with the information that we had, and I'm saying our parents. Right now, there's so much information. You can jump on YouTube and you can Google certain things, African and heritage and all that stuff, and you can get information from people who spent their lives searching and seeking because they knew something was missing in them. They weren't fulfilled. So they started searching and studying, and you could get these different perspectives of how we can maneuver. You know, we are blessed every day we get up. And I heard you say that, Sister Lisa. We're blessed. Every day we get up and we can breathe air to our lungs, like air. We don't see air, but we know we are breathing it. So, you know, to say it's not a higher power, no, I don't say that's not true, because something created all of this. And that power, that great and tremendous power is within all of us. So how can we say that we're incapable of making things be the way that we want it to be if we really want it to be the way we want it to be? That's what I'm gonna end with, you know. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show as usual, Sister Lisa. You know, those of you who are on the line, thank you for listening. Next time, bring a friend in. And don't be afraid to press one. Don't be afraid to press one and chime in, because the old African proverb, we've heard it plenty of times, but we don't know it's the African proverb, is each one teach one. You know? So we work together to teach each other. I don't know it all. There's things that you guys on the phone know that I don't know, that you can share, that you can bring to the table, so I can become better. I want you to be better. You want me to be better. We all be better. So special thanks to my brother, Jay Sean, for handling the production side of the show. I would like to ask you all to tune in every Monday, $1 from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Thursday to the Lisa's Experience from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in every Friday to Keeping It Real from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tune in every Sunday to The Point of Impact from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also, tune in to Grown Folks Talking by dialing 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. And I would like for those of you who are on the line, check out some of my previous and recent content on Peep Game TV on YouTube. Go there, scroll down, listen to some of the stuff. You know, I'm always adding new content, so you can check that out. And subscribe. Subscribe, share with others, you know, and get them to subscribe. I pray to you, the creator of all in existence, that you touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibration of my voice, so that our hearts, minds, and souls will come together and function as though we are one body. I pray that you bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity, goodness, and the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work together towards the much-needed changes within ourselves and within our communities for the sake of present and future generations. I pray with all my heart that our Creator has planned something incredible within each and every one of us that we will carry with us and share with others from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me, and I ask your forgiveness. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone whom you love or care about just to see how they are doing or if they are okay. That being said, may you all be inspired and motivated to begin your journey towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. To our next encounter, have a great night. I love you all like I love myself.
I don't even remember the first time we met, you know? She has been around for quite some time. She was there when I opened my eyes and took my first breath. She heard my first cry. She heard and saw me take my first step. She was with me on my first day of school. As I got older, she got tougher. The older I got, the tougher she got. There were times when I felt that she was too tough for me to deal with. She was too tough. And there were other times when I would try to get away from her. But wherever I went, she was always right there. She always, so many had left her, whether they wanted to or not. No, I'm still here, dealing with her, thick and thin, doing the best that I can. Sometimes she has me smile when I really want to cry. Other times, things are fine between she and me. So yet, she is unpredictable. Because when everything seems to be going good, she comes right back sometimes right with something equally as bad. Some days, she has me so confused, I don't know what to say or do. What to say or because we have been through so much together, I've grown extremely attached to her. To a point that I love her and don't want to let her go. Although I know the time will come when I have to leave her behind, it's funny that after all she's taken me through, the pain, the joy, the tears, the feelings, the highs, the lows, and so much more, I still love her with all my heart and will love her until the day we depart. Life, no doubt, life, that's who she is, love her.